Okay, Chizkuni and Parshas Kisisa. So the Chizkuni begins with the Machtes HaShekel, and the Torah says to bring the Machtes HaShekel v'loyia behem negev. So the Pasha Pshat in that, I think, is that there will be no plagues. That's what Uncle says. But the Chizkuni says v'loyia behem negev bifkoda sam negev means shiloti nagfu lifnei oyveim. They will not be trampled and destroyed by their enemies, not negev from sickness, but rather tinugfu, as in you will not be, you won't lose to your enemies. Bifkodosam, he says, means at time of war, bifshas melchama, when they're remembered, I guess, they won't be destroyed by their enemies because they will have given this machtes HaShekel. And the machtes HaShekel, half a shekel is to, as the Gemara says above a kam, it's a kapara on what they did b'chatzi ayom. Well, not that the Gemara says that it's a kapara for what they did b'chatzi ayom. The Chizkuni is saying it's a half shekel to be as a kapara for chatzi ayom, which the Gemara says in Shabbos is that when Moshe was supposed to come down, ki boshesh is boshesh, when halfway through the day he didn't come down, so then that's when the Jews started sitting with the egel. So it's a kapara on that, on what they did in half the day. So it's half a shekel. Okay, and he also mentions a little Purim bonus. He mentions that the amount of chatzi shekels that they gave equals up to the exact amount of money that Haman gave to Achashverosh, and that was Haman's message, that my shekels should counteract their shekels. Okay, then we have that the Torah says to make a kiyor. So the Chizkuni asks, why all of a sudden now we had the list of all the Kelim and the Mizbeach in the previous parshas, why is this separate, the Kiyor? So he says, because it's only a Hechsher Mitzvah, so it's not an Avodah itself. It just prepares you for Avodah. That's why it's in its own category and left for later. Then we have, it discusses the Ketores, and then your Moshech, Shem and HaMishcha. And you pour that over the shulchan and the menorah, and make them kodesh. And the pasuk says, "Kalon agia behem yikdash." Similar to what he said in the previous parashas, "Kalon agia behem yikdash." What does it mean? Whoever touches the mizbeach will be yikdash. It means you have to prepare yourself first. You have to be mekadosh yourself first. Go to the mikveh first. Whatever, make yourself tahor before you touch them. Okay. Then we have the Torah saying who built the Mishkan. It says, "Rei karasi b'shem Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur lamad te Yehuda." And we also have Ahaliyah ben Achisamach lamate Dan. So you'll notice that second person has a shorter list of names. He's just Ahaliyah ben Achisamach, two names. The son, ben the father. By Betzalel, it's Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur. He's got the father and the grandfather. Why is it by Betzalel we go back to the grandfather, and by Ahaliyah ben Achisamach we just have like normal father, you know, kid and father? So the Chizkuni explains, because we wanted to mention Hur. We went back to the grandfather to mention Hur because Hur died standing up for Hashem when the Yidden wanted to build the Egel Hazav. So Hur stood up to them and they killed Hur. And the Mishkan is really a kapara on what happened there, that they lost the Shechina and the Chet Egel, and the Mishkan is a kapara and all that. So it mentions Hur as building the Mishkan, as the Mishkan is supposed to be a kapara on that Chet Egel. Okay. Then it says in Pasuk Yud, Ves Bigdei Hasrad, Ves Bigdei HaKodesh. So you will build all the Kelim and the Bigdei Hasrad. What are the Bigdei Hasrad? This is actually Machlokas Rishonim, what the Bigdei Hasrad are. And Rashi brings that. There are those, it's Rashi and the Ramban. Some explain that the Big Day Srad are the things that are used to cover the Kalim of the Aron, the Kalim of the Mishkan, like you put it on top of the menorah, on top of the Shulchan when they were moving. The Ramban holds it is the Big Day Kahuna themselves. Okay, but it's a machlokes rishonim what the word means, big day srad. Rashi says it cannot possibly be big day kahuna. The Ramban says it is. Okay, but the Chizkuni goes with Rashi's pshat, that big day srad refers to the things you cover the kalim with. what's interesting, though, is how the Chizkuni gets it from. Cheskuni says, you know, Rashi brings how it fits the words that it's the cover of the Aron and the menorah and the shulchan, but the Cheskuni says it comes from srid, leftover. It was the leftover from the other stuff that was used to make the covering for the Aron. That's big day srad, like srid, leftovers. Okay. And then we have Shabbos. And the Cheskuni brings this. I think it's a Mechilta in Vayakel. Whatever, a drasha from Chazal. It says here, Sheshis, in our parsha, Sheshis Yamim Ye'asem Melacha. 6 days, work will be done. And in Vayakel, it says, Shisha Yamim Tavod. You'll work for 6 days. So, Sastiras, 6 days, work will be done, or 6 days, you will work. So, Chazal say, Kan Ba'osim Ritzon HaShalmakim, Kan Ba'osim Enosim Ritzon HaShalmakim. That if the Yidden are doing Ratzon Hashem, then their work will be done for them by others. It's a nice drasha. That's Sheshes Yamim Ye'aseh. If you're doing Ratzon Hashem, you'll be rich and have other people do your work for you. Okay, then he says a very interesting drasha. It says, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael aseh Shabbos. What does it mean, V'shamru? So he says that they should be looking out. V'shamru is to be on guard. It means always. You should always be looking out for Shabbos. What you could do to make Shabbos better, that you shouldn't have to be mechalel. Work out the whole week. Should be doing stuff to work out that Shabbos should not be mechulelas, whatever you could do for Shabbos, which sounds a lot like I recall from Beit Shammai, who would prepare the whole week for Shabbos, and Beis Hillel says, didn't go like that. Had a different mahalach, as it says. But anyway, that's what he says this means. That it's, you should at least, to make sure it's not mechulelas, at least, be looking out for it the whole week, to make it that your Shabbos will be a Shabbos, and it shouldn't be Mechulel. Okay. Okay, then we have the story of the Chet HaEgel. So, there is a big discussion amongst the Rishonim, what were they thinking, exactly making this Chet HaEgel. I think the Ramban's line is, you know, the one that sticks out the most, that a lot of Rishonim, including the Cheskuni quote, it's a great line. And it says they were told to take their earrings out of their ears to make the Egel Azov. So as the Ramban says, they couldn't have been so stupid to think their earrings that they just took out of their ears, and then they said, Eila Elohecha Asher Hotziyucha Meretz Mitzrayim, that this earring that they just took out of their ears is what took them out of Mitzrayim. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing seems ridiculous. So what were they doing? So the Ramban has his pshat, but this is a Cheskuni here. So the Cheskuni says that they were trying to make a manig. Many others say this as well. This egel was going to lead them. And with whatever way it was going to lead them, it's either or whatever they're getting into. Somehow this egel they were going to make was supposed to be the thing that would be manhig them. It would lead them somehow. So when they said Kuma Seilanu Elohim, they meant a manhig, not a god. It was just going to, because Moshe, they didn't know when he was coming back. It didn't seem like he was coming back. He was up there for 40 days, 40 nights. Nobody could possibly live that long without food and water, so they thought he must be dead. This is what the Cheskuni says. So they said, "Kumasei lanu Elohim." They meant a manhig, someone to lead us. And they would bow down to it for kavod, but not as a god. They didn't think it was a god. It was just going to lead them somehow with some whatever kochos it was going to do to lead them. So Aaron said, "Take off your earrings." So this was what Cheskuni says Aaron was thinking. If he would say, if you're just looking for a manig, you know, that's what our response would be. If you're just looking at a manig, how about Aaron? You know, what are you running to in a golden calf for? Why don't you ask Aaron to do it or someone else to do it? So the Cheskuni says, so Aaron didn't want to nominate himself because he thought Moshe would not approve, which is fascinating to me. And Aaron didn't want to nominate someone else because then he thought when Moshe would come down, it would cause a civil war and who's in charge and whatever. So he was just trying to delay them. So he said, oh, okay, idol, fine. Get me all your earrings and stuff. He thought, as like Rashi brings, that the women would not approve. And he thought this would be a great delay tactic. That's what he was trying to do. Now, why did they pick an egel? So obviously there was some spirituality here in picking an egel. So this is super fascinating. The Cheskuni says that, you know, at the Kriyas Yamsuf, it said everybody saw stuff that even Yechezkel ben Buzi couldn't see, even stuff the big Nevi'im couldn't see that everybody saw. But the Erev Rav was there too. So apparently they, the Chizkuni says, they saw less than everybody else. Klal Yisrael saw the Shekhinah. The Erev Rav didn't see the Shekhinah. Rather, they saw the legs of the Malachi Hasharis that are under the Kisei HaKavod, and those legs are the legs of an Egel. So they thought that's Hashem, whatever that means, and that his legs, so to speak, were, if that was an Egel, so then it would be someone that would, I guess, mimic Hashem. Again, he said they weren't trying to make a Hashem, but it would mimic Hashem, or maybe the Erev Rav was trying to make Hashem. I don't know. Klal Yisrael wasn't, but maybe the Erev Rav were. Anyway, they thought that that was, they were looking at Hashem, so they made an Egel, because that was what it appeared they saw at the Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, then Aaron sees, it says, Vayar Aaron, he saw that they, that the Jews were not doing the right thing, and they were making a mistake. And they're not going about this properly. So the Pasuk, and Pasuk says, Vayar Aharon, Vayivin Mizbeach Lefanav, he built a Mizbeach. That was more delay tactics. He was trying to keep them busy. And he said, Chag L'Hashem Machar. So tomorrow we'll make a party. This, and similar to a party you make when you have a new king, meaning not a new god, a new king, a new leader. They're going to have a new leader. And when you have a new leader, like, you know, when Nach, you have this, when the new king comes and you build a Mizbeach and you offer karbanos. Anyway, but for Aaron, really, he was just trying to delay them. So he said, let's build a Mizbeach and tomorrow we'll offer karbanos as a thanks to Hashem that we have a new leader. That was the idea. And the next day, Vayashkimu Vavoker, they got up early to offer those olos again, still for the party for a new king. Okay, so Hashem tells them, of course, this was not okay. Even if they did do it as a new manhig, they're not supposed to have a manhig that they bow down to. And they're not supposed to have a pesel. That's actually what he says. Not supposed to have pesel. Asad selecha pesel. They were over on, you know, that's what Hashem was telling them. Saru maher, because Hashem told them, lo sa'as selecha pesel, and they made a pesel. And even to bow down to a pesel as if a way to daven to Hashem, like you're bowing down to the pesel and having in mind this is a way to daven to Hashem, it's also not okay. Because that's being over in Hashem's mitzvahs that said not to do that. Okay, so then Moshe davens about the Klal Yisrael. It says, Vayachal Moshe Espanei Hashem Elokav. So the Chizkuni says, this has to have happened after, this is an interesting thing to say, but I think this pasuk has to have happened after Moshe threw down the Luchos, destroyed the Egel, and killed all the bad guys. Because he says, it's not Mistavra that Hashem, that Moshe davened to Hashem to save Klal Yisrael when the Egel's still there and the Rishayim are still there. It must be that this tefillah's pasuk's out of order, and this tefillah was said after the Egel was destroyed and the Rishayim had been killed already. It was to save everybody else. Okay, now this next thing about Moshe coming down from Har Sinai is very interesting. In pasuk Tezvav, it says, Vayifen Vayered Moshe Minahar. Moshe comes down from the mountain. Ushnei luchos eidus b'yado, and he's holding the two luchos. Luchos ksuvim mishnei avram. These are luchos that are written on both sides. Mizem mizem heim ksuvim. They're written on both sides, which means, of course, they're hollowed through. Pashup shot. So the Chizkuni, without saying so, is kind of wondering, what does the beginning of the pasuk have to do with the end? Moshe's coming down the mount with the luchos. Now, Moshe knew, because Hashem told him what happened. He's coming down with the luchos anyway. What did he bring him down for? If he's not going to give it to the Jewish people, he could have left it up there. What's he bring it? So, this is fascinating. He says, Moshe brought him down from the mountain, even though he knew he was going to break them. He didn't break them up there or leave him up there because he didn't want, if he left it up there, it would be, it would, so to speak, Hashem would see them. They'd be a maskeras avon. That it says in the Luchos, Anochi Hashem v'lo yielacha. It would be up there, and it was as if Hashem would be a reminder to Hashem of the Savera they're doing. So he took down the Luchos to break them in front of the Jews and not leave them upstairs, so it shouldn't be a Maskeras Avon. And that's the connection to the end of the Pasuk, that it was hollow. Was after doing anything? It means it was easier to carry, easier to break. Well, he just says the easier to break part. Since they were hollowed through, they were going to be easier to break. So, in other words, Moshe knew he was going to break them, but he didn't want to leave them up there for that reason, so it shouldn't be a maskeras avon, and they were hollow, so they were easy to break. Okay. And then when he has it that he bayashlech miyada, when he actually throws it down, so the Chizkuni says, didn't really throw it far, he just threw it just on his, he actually got weak when he saw them doing it with his own eyes, dancing around the egel. So he lost his strength and he threw it just a little bit away so it shouldn't fall on his feet. And it was cause, now the Chazal tell us that the Luchos Rishonos were missing the letter Tess. It had all the letters of the alphabet except the letter Tess. And in the second Luchos, in the second time, it did have the letter Tess. As it's by Kibud Avim, it says, L'man Yitav Lecha, which is not written in the Luchos Shnios, Rishonos. So Gemara there uses that to talk about some other thing that, in other words, the Gemara there says there was no test in the first Luchos, so that if when Moshe broke it, it would come out that the test, there'd be no Tovah for Kal Yisrael. And so Hashem didn't want that, so there was no test. But the Chizkunis are using it to explain that it was, what happened because there was no test. That's why it was caused this, when Moshe got angry and there was no test anyway, somehow that all caused it to Moshe break it. Okay, then it says that Moshe saw Bayar Moshe Sam ki Faruahu. So the Chizkuni explains, Faruah means battle for mitzvos, because it says Al Tafriu es Ami Melachtam. Right, Paro says, don't stop them. So Faruah means they're stopped. He saw they were stopped from doing mitzvah. They were battle for mitzvos. Okay, and then he said, he asked everyone who is for Hashem to come to him. Now, if you remember the story, the way the Chizkuni laid it out, the Jews had made a calf to be a mnemonic for them. So, going on that pshat, the Chizkuni says, lefi the pashat pshat, meaning not necessarily Chazal, but lefi the pshat lepsukim, he says that Bnei Levi came to him because, you know, they wanted a new manik. From which Shevet exactly? Moshe was the manik of Klal Yisrael, and he came from Shevet Levi. So the one Shevet that had no interest in a new melech was Levi. So all of Levi came to him. Okay. Hashem tells Levi they have to kill out all the people who sinned with the golden calf. And because of that, they were all zocha to bracha. As it says in Pasuk Chavtes, V'lasas aleichem hayom bracha. Today you get the bracha. What does it mean today? So the Chizkuni explains, because at the time of Yaakov, they didn't get a bracha, right? Levi wasn't really blessed. So because of what they did here, they were zocha to Moshe's bracha. Now, as we know, the Bechors were supposed to do the Avodah, and after Cheda Egel, they lost it, and it went to Shevet Levi. So the Kohanim specifically do the Avodah, and the Levis are involved. Help. But he said it was based on this, that, this is kind of agav, Korach did his machlokas with Moshe, he says, because Korach was a Bechor, and he was just a Levi. He wanted to be a Kohen. He wanted to do the Avodah himself because he was a Bechor, and he was used to the concept of doing Bechor. He wanted to do the Bechor. He didn't sin because he was from Shevet Levi, so that's how he ended up having his machlokas with Moshe. Anyway, he mentions that agav. Okay, so then when davening for that Klal Yisrael should be saved, Moshe says to Hashem to save Klal Yisrael, and if not, Mecheni na mesifrecha asher kasafta. So otherwise, delete me from your sefer. So there's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah that says, we're all familiar with, there's the sifrei that on Rosh Hashanah, there are three books that are open, three sfarim, Beinanim, Tzadikim, and Rishayim. And on Rosh Hashanah, people get written in one of the three or whatever, between that and Yom Kippur, those three sfarim, Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishayim. So the Chizkuni says that's what this pasuk is referring to. He said, what sefer? The Torah wasn't given yet. Certainly not as a sefer. So all we had is the, he had just broken the luchos. So it was nothing. So there's no sefer. So what sefer? So he says, the sefer means the sefer hachayim of tzadikim and beninim. Erase me from those. If you're not going to save the Jews, so then erase me from the sefer of chayim and beninim. Now, this is not the Chizkuni's pshat. This is the Gemara says that. If you learned Rosh Hashanah, it's on Daf Tes Zayin. You probably blew right through it because, the Gemara is just bringing it as a proof that there are three Svarim. But this was Moshe talking. It's brought this pasuk here, this drasha. He meant to erase him from the Sefer HaChayim of Tzadikim and Beinonim. The truth is, our Gemara has to erase him from all three. To erase him from the Sifrei Rishayim too. So what does that mean to be erased from all three? That you have to look over there in the Gemara. The Maram Shif has an explanation of that. But the Chizkunis seems to be his girsa. The girsa he brings here is that he was just is that Moshe was asking to be deleted from two of them. If you're not going to save Klal Yisrael, then delete me from the Sefer HaChayim, meaning the Sefer of Tzadikim or Beinonim. I don't want to be in either one. Okay, that's what he was asking. Okay, so then we say, Hashem says, I'll send the Malach to go with you instead of me. And Bnei Yisrael's response to having the Malach instead of Hashem, it says, Vayishmu Amas HaDavar Zeh V'Yisabalu V'lo Shasu Ish Edyo Alav. They did not put on their Edyo. What is that? So Rashi says it's the Nas of Nishma crowns, but the Chizkuni says it refers to the Klei Kesef and Klei Zahav and clothes that they brought from Mitzrayim. Then the very next pasuk strangely says, Hashem says, V'yom HaShem Moshe Emoral B'nei Yisrael Tem Am K'sherif Rega Echad Elar B'kir B'chavich L'Sicha. So now, Horeid Edyecha Mielecha. Take off your Edyo. Okay, so what's strange about that is pasuk Tal just said they already did. They didn't put on their Edyo. And then Hashem says, take off your Edyo. What does that mean? They already had it off. So he says, in Odome, so you can't compare someone who knocks themselves down to a case where somebody knocks you down. So being mevayish themselves is different than having someone be mevayish you. So they had not put on those clothings, but when Hashem said take them off, so then that was more of a slap in the face, a show of disapproval. Okay. So then we have that they destroyed the eagle, and Moshe goes back up. For those who are interested in this kind of thing, there seems to be a stir in Rashi that many of the Mefarshim talk about. In our Rashi here in Kisisa, it says that Moshe went back up to Har Sinai on Yud Tes. Other places, Rashi says he went back up on Yud Ches. So the Chizkuni points out that stira, but he's not the only one. All the Mefarshim Rashi talk about that, but we're not going to shtel on that. We have the Yud Gam Amidos. Okay, so this pasuk is these psukim are read on Chol HaMoed Shabbos, on Chol HaMoed Shabbos Chol HaMoed rather, and he Chizkuni explains because throughout the parasha we mentioned Shabbos and we mentioned Yontiv and we mentioned and there's a remez to Chol HaMoed also in these psukim, like the Gemara says when it darshens Chol HaMoed it brings a pasuk from here. So there's a hint to Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, and the holidays. So that's why we read this parsha on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed. Anyway, but it starts with the Yud Gimel Midos. So Moshe had asked to see Hashem's kavod, which is the Shechina itself. Hashem said, "You can't see me, but you can see the back." Why? Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Listen to this. What does that mean? Because people cannot see me and live, right? That's the Pashup Shot. So he brings a Chazal, it says something fascinating. It's fascinating. Kilo Yirani Ha'adam, nor Echai. You got that? Kilo Yirani Ha'adam V'chai. An Adam can't see me, nor can a Chai see me. Which Chai? The Chai is HaKodesh. That's what the Chizkuni brings from a Chazal, that just like a human can't see Hashem and survive, even the Chayas HaKodesh, the Malachi Asharis, they also can't see Hashem. So, okay, just an interesting thing. So Moshe is going back up, and it says, so Hashem tells him, Ishlo Ya'ale Imach, Imcha, whatever. No one can go up with you to the mountain. And this is, Chizkuni points out, a little different than the first time. When Moshe went up the first time, there was Nadav, Aviu, Shem, Zekenim, Aaron, everyone, no one went up as far as Moshe, but they came. Here, nobody's allowed to come because of the Chet Egel, there was a Rechuk, pushing away. Okay, so the Yud Gimel Midos. So it's mentioned here, the Yud Gimel Midos. Hashem, Hashem, we know Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Echanan, right, Erech, Paim, Rechetzin, Mes, all that. So what does it mean, the Hashem, Hashem? So Rashi brings, the Chazal, let's say, I am Hashem Kodem Shiachta, and I am Hashem Acher Shiachta. That's the Hashem Hashem. I am Hashem before you sin, I am Hashem after you sin. Now, if you look in Bamidbar, by the Chet HaMeraglim, where Moshe actually employed this prayer that he learned right now from Hashem, by the Ma'ase HaMeraglim, there Moshe just says Hashem once, Hashem Kel Rachum, he doesn't say Hashem Hashem. Why is that? So the Chizkuni explains that the Kodim Shiechta, the Hashem is the name of Rachamim. Hashem is Merachim before a person sins. Hashem is Merachim after a person sins. What does he need Rachmanus before he sins? So the Chizkuni explains, talking about there's one or two Averos that a person can get punished just for the thought of the Avera. Avodah Zarah is one, Znus is the other. But he's talking about Avodah Zarah. So Hashem, there's an Avera to think about, to believe in Avodah Zarah, even if with no action being done. So, I am Hashem before they sin refers to just thought. And I am Hashem after the sin is after the sin. So here, when we're talking about, it was just Avodah Zarah, it's Hashem, Hashem, I'm Hashem, that will be Merachim in both cases. The case of the Chet HaMeraglim, where it was Lashon Hara, or whatever the Chet was, it was not a case where if somebody thinks something, they get an Avera. So that's why he just said the Hashem once. Okay, then there is kale. So kale means a dayan and a shofet. So it's basically a midas adin. So it's hard to know why it's in there, but many talk about that. Then we have rachum v'chana. What does rachum v'chana mean? Rachum means he's merciful on poor people. V'chanun is for rich people, because chanun can even be by rich people. Erech apayim, this is interesting. Erech apayim, so he brings the pashup shot that we all are familiar with, which is Hashem is slow to anger. Erech apayim, long to anger. So that's for Rishayim, that Hashem gives them time to do tshuva. But the opposite, also, Erech HaPayim sounds like a long anger. Lots of anger. More anger. That's, he says, for Tzadikim, that Hashem pays them back for their Averos in this world, so they should be perfect in the next world. Rav Chesed is that he's, the Midas HaChesed is more than Midas Peronis. Like you see here, that Hashem, later on, that Hashem pays back for generations, 2,000 generations, and Averos only gets paid back for 4 generations. Anyway, Midas HaChesed is more than Midas Adin. That's the Rav Chesed. The Emes is Emes, he's keeps his word. Meaning if Hashem says good will happen, good will happen. Okay, he's Nosi Oven Vafesha, he carries our sins. Nakelo Yinakai, he cleans those who want to do tshuva, not those who don't. And Poked Avon Avos, this is a little bit of a chiddush, what he says about this. He remembers the sins of the father to the sons. So why is that a Midas HaRachamim? So he explains because if something is heavy for one person, it's not so heavy. It's, if two people carry something, it's even less heavy. If three people carry it, or four people. So Hashem lets the Avera, the punishment of the Avera, be carried out on the sons and the grandsons, because this way it's not so bad for the original sinner. And that which it says, L'yumsu avos albanim, that one generation doesn't get punished for the previous generation, that's based in Shalmata, as opposed to based in Shalmala. Makes it sound like children can be punished for the sins of their fathers. But obviously, in this world is not going to do that, but in the next world can do it, and in Shalmala can do it, and is to spread out the Puranos over generations so as not to totally destroy anybody. Okay, then we have the next Pasuk Ches says, Vayemaher Moshe v'ikod artav ishtachu. And Moshe hurried. What was he hurrying about? This is also very interesting. What is he hurrying? After all that about the Pekin of Anavasa, Albanim, Al Shilashim, Al Rabihim, Vayemaher Moshe v'ikod artav ishtachu. He bowed down quick. So one pshat here in the Chizkuni says this, he was afraid that Hashem was going to keep going. Al Rabihim, Al Chemishim, Al Shishim. Stop, quick! He ran to bow down, so to stop it, because he was afraid he was going to say more than 4 generations. And also, because that was the time to daven tasha, meaning when the king is around, like we say by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's the time to daven and do tshuva. When the king is around, that's when you can ask your bakashas, that's when you can daven. So before Hashem left, he wanted to quickly daven for more things. So he asked him to be for a new bris. Hashem is Kori's bris with him and says that everyone should keep the Torah from now on at least. That's what it says. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shmar Lecha Yitzah Sher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. Meaning, at least from now on, everybody should keep keeping the Torah, and they redid the bris. And it says, V'hir, later on, V'hir Chavti Eskvulecha. In Pasuk Chavtal, it says, Kiorish Goyim Yipanecha, when I destroy the Goyim from before you, V'hir Chavti Eskvulecha, and I expand your Gvul. Kuni says, because this was the Eitz Ratzon, and at this point is when Hashem expanded the Jews' Nachla to include Eretz Sichon Va'og, because it was supposed to be just Eber HaYarden and beyond. The fact that they got Eretz Sichon and Og, that was now Echavtis Gevulcha. It was an Eitz Ratzon. Hashem gave them more. They got the land of Sichon and Og. Now this next one is. It was worth the whole share just to hear this. If Pasuk Chavav, it says, Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha Tevi Beis Hashem Elokecha. You should bring the first fruit to Hashem, that's Bikurim, L'Savashel Gedi Machalei Vimo. And don't cook a Gedi in its mother's milk. So what does one have to do with the other? Right? They seem to be completely disconnected concepts. So, Cheskuni says, no, that's exactly one's concept. Meaning the beginning of the Pasuk said, bring Bikurim, the first fruit. And then it's saying, in almost like an expression type of way, don't let the Gedi, to Bishel sometimes means ripen, right? When you talk about Bishel Paris, it doesn't always mean cooking. Sometimes it means ripening. So don't let the fruit ripen. Don't wait till the fruits, in this case of an animal, don't wait till the goat is finished nursing from the mother, but don't wait for it to ripen, meaning bring the bikurim right away. As soon as they start ripening, you should bring it. So it has nothing to do with Bishul Basar B'chalav in this Chizkunis Pshat. It's talking about don't wait for the fruit to ripen, rather bring them right away. So again, just the way I understand what he's saying is that a gedi becomes ripened when it's got all the milk it needed. So this is similar. Don't let the fruit ripen that much. Bring them right away. Okay, next. So he just brings an interesting medrash that says, how did Moshe know when it was day and night? So it was 40 days and 40 nights. So the medrash says when Moshe was being taught Torah Shebichsav, he knew it was daytime. When Moshe was being taught Torah Shebal Peh, he knew it was nighttime. And many learn from here, of course, that Torah Shebichsav is supposed to be learned by day, and Torah Shebal Peh is supposed to be learned at night. Night is when things are more difficult. Torah Shebal Peh is more difficult. And on a practical level, at night is usually when people have time to do nothing but sit and concentrate and learn, whatever it is. So there is an Indian of learning Torah Shebichsav by day and Torah Shebal Peh at night. Okay, we'll stop here.